There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. Critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position, not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There was only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Oh, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Now I know where it is. Thank you, Silver. Okay, now I get it. Excellent. What do we got? 7:03 Saturday morning. Hardy here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. It's a big day. Number one, yeah, everybody wants to know what the weather's going to be like if you're playing golf today. I'm going to tell you right now. It's a little hazy out there. Do you want to know why it's hazy out there?
Why is that, Hardy?
Fires in Alaska.
Really? That's what this is?
Or Canada. Somewhere that way, there are fires. I saw Pete, what's his name, on the TV there last night. What's the meteorologist?
Yeah, Pete.
Do you know that guy?
Lemanowitz? No.
Pete, I want to say Bruchard.
Pete Bruchard.
Is that the guy's name? I'm going to find out right now. He said last night that the haze that we are experiencing, Pete Bouchard, thank you very
Pete
much.
Pete Bouchard.
Pete Bouchard, he's good.
Okay.
The haze was a result of these fires up in like Canada, somewhere way northwest of here. And it was creating this hazy filter that we were experiencing yesterday, and you can see a bit of it today. Very foggy also. Hmm. Here's why I like it for playing golf purposes. I hate looking at my shadow. And if you're one of these lucky people who gets to go play golf in the middle of the day, you will many times throughout the course of the round have your shadow right below you as you're addressing the ball. And for me, it's a horror show.
This seems like a tough thing for a golfer.
I never want to look at my swing, yeah. Right? And you're forced to look at the shadow of your swing. You have to have, you know, amazing control and concentration and willpower not to look at the silhouette of your swing, and even in a practice swing, and I don't want to see it.
You're lacking all of these things.
Well, it's distracting. You know, you don't stand with your shadow in the line of somebody who's putting. You don't stand with your shadow over the hole when someone's putting. I don't stand with my shadow right in front of somebody mm-hmm. as they're hitting the ball. So why is it okay? Why should it be okay for me to have to look at my own shadow when I'm swinging? I don't like it.
I think it's science, actually. Same thing with the haze. It's all connected, Hardy.
Okay.
It's all connected.
Okay. Science enters into it a little bit, Silver. I'm just saying you won't have any shadow today if you keep this haze and this little bit of an overcast going on. Who knows? Maybe it's going to be all shadowy later on today and this is all for naught. So that's number one. It's a big day because pretty much right after the Sports Up Golf Club today, and we're on until 8 o'clock, I'm heading over to the PGA Tour Superstore. It's opening today. It's in Braintree. And now I know where it is, thanks to Sean Silver, because people are saying it's right off Route 3. There's nothing on Route 3 except for exits. kind of, right there.
Right
after
off the exit.
Right off the split, right? Not too far off the split from where it all is a big jumbled mess there with 93 and Route 3. Right off there when you're heading down, if you're heading down the Cape, on your right. And there's a Staples there. There's a Bed Bath & Beyond. There's a PGA Tour Superstore that we're going to be at. I will be there this morning from 9 to 11. That's my official time there. And here's why it's a big day for me personally. I'm in a buying mood. You ever get in a mood where you just want to go buy something? And more often than not, I want to buy something golf related. You know, I want to get myself new wedges even if I don't need them. I want to go putter shopping. Why not? Today it's shoes. I need shoes. I have one pair of Echoes, the Yak leather, that my wife bought me for no reason years ago. And I'm still suspicious as to why she bought me such a nice gift.
They make those from Yak?
Yak leather.
Wow.
They're phenomenal shoes. These Echoes, I've worn them like on a Golfing the World shoot. I forget where we were. Maybe it was the one we did at the Seagate in Florida. And we got done with the shoot and I had to take a flight right away. I wore my shoes on the plane home. They're that comfortable, right?
It's nice.
The soft spikes, the spikeless, right?
Okay.
I still have those, but you need two. You need two pairs of shoes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, if you're going to be serious about
right.
this here.
And I've had some Pumas for a while that I love, but you know, quite frankly, they wear out. They're not $200 Yak leather Echoes, right? They're not built to last forever. So I need new shoes today. So I'll be shopping for that. But come on by, see us. We have all kinds of giveaways generally when we're doing these things. Lately, we've had a lot of notebooks. I don't know why. I think they have something to do with maybe 1-800-MATTRESS and, you know, a little notebook you keep on your nightstand to jot down your thoughts as you're falling asleep or waking up or in the middle of the night. Dream interpretation notebook. I don't know what they are. But if you want a nice notebook, you can come by the PGA Tour Superstore today. Also, the last time I was out, and I we had coasters, tiny coasters about the size of a half dollar. I said, what the hell are these for? And I was told they were for putting in the cup holder of your car. That's what these coasters are for. We can only hope that we have more stuff to give away today. But the important thing is there's another golf store opening up. You know, Golf Town was a great store. It got purchased or merged with Golf Smith, the Canadian parent company. And for a while, Golf Smith was my go-to spot over in Watertown. That it was a huge store, and it was beautifully put together. And it was right near the old studios in Brighton. So I would head over to Golf Smith all the time and met some great guys over there. And I'm still friends with guys who work there. But they closed down a bunch of Golf Smiths. They closed that one down in Watertown, and they ended up closing the one in Avon, which is close to where I live now and would be the one that I guess I would go to from here. Golfer's Warehouse, still around, but in terms of just places to go and buy golf stuff, there's not a lot of big dedicated golf stores anymore. And now we've got one, the PGA Tour store. So we're going to be there this morning from 9 to 11. All right, Sean Silver just gave you the update as to what's going on at the Memorial. This was going to be a big one for Tiger. You know, Tiger's had some really nice tournaments there. It's the Jack Nicklaus tournament, so Tiger wants to play well whenever Jack is around. And he's not playing terribly. He made a double bogey 7 yesterday on the 15th hole, which pretty much undid him because while he started off with a bogey, he got that one back in relation to par on the 7th hole of his second round. He made the turn. Tiger made birdies at 11 and 13, and then he doubled 15, gave both of those birdies back. So he ended up shooting even par in his second round. And then when you put that with the 70 he shot in round one, he's at 2 under par. It's not horrible. It's not a missed cut like we saw for him here recently at the PGA Championship at Bethpage Black. And he's still better than the mad scientist Bryson DeChambeau, who is at even so far for this tournament. Our buddy Brendan Steele, who has been on this program before, he's at even par. Cabrera Bayo. He is at 1-under for the tournament. So Tiger's playing better than all these guys. Louis Oosthuizen, KJ Choi, real players. But at the top of the leaderboard, as Silver mentioned, Troy Merritt, Kyung-Hoon Lee, and Martin Keimer. Jordan Spieth, who has found his game again, shot a 66 to open up the tournament. He backed that up with a 70 yesterday. He's at 8-under par. He's just one stroke off the lead. You want me to pick somebody right now to win this thing? I'll go with Jordan Spieth. He's one off the lead after 36 holes. But it's interesting that sitting there near at the top of the leaderboard in a tie for the lead right now is Kyung-Hoon Lee, who is a South Korean player. Which brings us to, unfortunately, one of the big stories in golf this week. It all ties together. Tiger Woods, former swing coach, Hank Haney. Hank Haney is on SiriusXM PGA Tour radio. I don't know that I've ever had Hank Haney on the show in the 7 years we've been doing this show. Obviously, he's an instructor. His most famous students have been Tiger Woods and Mark O'Mara. He wrote a book about his time with Tiger called The Big Miss, which is a fascinating book. And it's all about Tiger Woods when he lapped the field at the U.S. Open back in 2000. He won by 15 strokes. It's still, to this day, hard for me to wrap my head around. Back in 2000, U.S. Open was at Pebble Beach, same place it's going to be this year. Tiger Woods finished the tournament at 12 under par. Runner-up was at 3 over. It was insane. You know, talk about playing a game with which the other players were unfamiliar. That's what Tiger was doing during the 2000 U.S. Open. When he got done with that tournament, he said, I need to change my swing. And the first instructor he went to, he said, what? He said, the reason why I was 1,200 for this tournament, the reason why I won it by 15 strokes, is I don't have a safer shot that I can play. I don't have a little cut that I can play into a lot of these greens just to give myself a putt at birdie. I had to attack every pin with these high draws and play it out over trouble and hit shots that I really didn't want to because I didn't have any other shots to hit. And he was guarding against and playing against and always dealing with in the back of the mind the big miss, which for a lot of right-handed players is a snap hook. That's what they are fearful of. That's what they guard against. The old adage, I believe it was Lee Trevino, he said, you can talk to a fade or a slice, but a hook will never listen. You know, you're a righty, right? You're on the tee box later today. You hit when it starts leaking off to the right. You're like, oh, stay there, stay there, stay there. If you hit a draw that turns into a hook, you can do all the talking you want. That thing is going to hit the ground and run toward the hazard or OB or just into a spot where you're going to be dead. And that's what Tiger said. He had to develop a swing that would help him avoid that big miss, that big hook to the left. So he went to Hank Haney, and Hank Haney helped him develop this cut shot. And it gets kind of technical in the book with how he did it, holding the club more in his hands than in his fingers and working on all this stuff. Where Haney, I believe, kind of undid himself and kind of screwed himself. And while it ended up being interesting reading for us, is he talked about a lot of personal stuff with Tiger, how he had social issues, how Haney would be over at Tiger's house and watching TV, and Tiger would get up and go get himself a freeze pop out of the freezer and come back and sit down on the couch and not offer any to Hank or his guests. It's weird stuff, right? Things that maybe a child superstar like Tiger Woods didn't learn growing up. You know, some basic etiquette. You know, stuff that as you're treated like a king from the age of two, you don't necessarily learn how to serve others. With some people, it's just inherent. Some people are just inherently good people, and it you don't need instruction. Others need instruction. Doesn't sound like maybe Tiger ever got, whatever. Hank got into a lot of that stuff in the book, and essentially, you know, he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Spent all this, you know, one-on-one time with Tiger and then spilled the beans, you know. It wasn't quite a tell-all, but it was all that Haney knew. He told all that he knew. We didn't get to the bottom of everything with Tiger, but a lot of it was there. So Haney is on yesterday on his Sirius XM PGA Tour radio show, and or 2 days ago, and says something about the LPGA. He said, and specifically the U.S. Women's Open, just going on, he said he couldn't name six players on the LPGA Tour. And then he said, I'll go with Lee as the winner. He said, I don't even have to mention a first name. I'll probably get it right. I'll probably get a bunch of them right. Meaning that there are a lot of South Korean players on the women's tour, and they're all named Lee, and he doesn't know any of them and doesn't care. Bad look for somebody doing... bad look for a man who makes his profession in golf, you know? A bad look for a guy who is hosting a Sirius XM PGA Tour radio show that goes all over North America, and you're talking to a wide variety of people. You know, I moonlight on Sirius XM. I know there are people listening all over the place from every walk of life, just like we have here in Boston, but it's to a greater degree. You're national, and you make a crack about, you know, the nationality of a bunch of LPGA Tour players. I'm not saying he's totally off base with the notion that there are a lot of Korean tour players, because there are on the women's tour. But wouldn't it have been a much more interesting conversation to say, like, I wonder why the Korean players are succeeding to such a degree on the women's tour and at the U.S. Open? Why is it? You know, how does this begin? How does it sustain? How does it keep going? Well, and again, to bring this all back around, as we talked about what Tiger is doing at the Memorial today and how there's a South Korean player tied at the top of the leaderboard right now, Tiger had something to say about his former coach and his comments. He said that Haney deserved the suspension. This is not a surprise. He said he deserved it. Just can't look at life like that. And he obviously said what he meant, and he got what he deserved. So, no love lost between Tiger and Hank Haney still to this day. Hank Haney probably be choosing his words more carefully if and when he's allowed back on his radio show. And again, that's a conversation I would like to have seriously, legitimately, and respectively at some point, and talk about the proliferation of Asian players on both tours, specifically on the women's tour, how they're able to do it. And I will say this, I couldn't name a lot of women players right now either myself, but I've been to enough women's tournaments. I've taken my daughter to go see Symetra Tour events. They held a couple down at Thorny Lee in Brockton. I can tell you without hesitation, some of the best golf spectating I've ever done, not even LPGA events, essentially the mini tour, the Symetra Tour. You want to know how to go hit the... If you're like me, you know, you're a handicap somewhere between 10 and 20. I don't even know where I am on the board right now because I've only put in a few rounds for the year. But if you want to hit the ball better, you want to be a more consistent player, you want to be a more pure striker of the ball, don't watch Dustin Johnson. You can watch him. It's fun. Don't try and emulate Rory McIlroy. You can't do that. You want to emulate someone? Go watch the women. Watch how they swing the ball. Or watch how they swing the club. Watch how on a par four that's over 400 yards, so what if they're hitting driver and then hybrid into those greens? They're hitting them pure, and they're finding the center of the greens, and they're making putts. It's a beautiful, beautiful game to watch. The way they play the game, it's different. It's different than DJ. It's different than Tiger. It's different than Bubba. It's different than all that. But it's more like the way I play the game, and more like the way I aspire to play the game. Those women are so good, and they are so much better than they get credit for. And we would all be better served by watching them and trying to emulate them than the guys we watch on the PGA Tour. All right, it is June 1st. Number one, rabbit. You got to say rabbit. That's the good luck word for the first day of the month. So if you haven't spoken yet today, say the word rabbit. Say it right now. Say it out loud. You have good luck for the rest of the month. And because it is June, it is Men's Health Month. So to that end, we're going to have a guest on, Dr. Natalia Lapushnin. It's not a fun subject. It's erectile dysfunction there. I'm going to say it right now. But we got to do it because it's Men's Health Month and it's important. So Dr. Lapushnin will join us next here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
This is the Sports Hub Golf.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club, where it is June 1st, and we are officially into Men's Health Month. Now, we did this last year and actually had a much better response than I thought we would, because this is not something that guys like to talk about. But since there are a lot of guys listening, and it is Men's Health Month, we thought we would do it again, this time with Dr. Watch me get this wrong. I've been practicing this. Watch me get this wrong. Dr. Natalia Lapushnin.
Excellent. That was excellent.
Okay, but how do you say them both together? Because the only way I could get this done correctly was to separate Natalia and Lapushnin.
It's very phonetical. I know there are a lot of vowels.
So pretend we're meeting here for the first time. Hi, my name is Rob Hardy Poole. What is your name?
I'm Dr. Natalia Lapushnin.
She makes it sound so easy. Okay. Dr. Lapushnin is a urologist here to talk about Men's Health Month. And really, Doctor, you and I were talking just a couple of minutes ago, and you said, you know, we can dance around it as much as we want, but really what it comes down to for most men when they're talking about men's health and during Men's Health Month is...
Erections.
Yeah. I don't even like saying it, but that's kind of what it's about, isn't it?
Listen, man, people don't like to talk about it. They like to talk about it when it works. And when it doesn't, they don't want to mention it. I can't tell you how many times I sit in clinic and we talk with my patients about kidney stones or their urinary issues. And then, you know, at the end, the visit is over. I say, see you later. See you in 6 months. Any other questions? And the guy is like, hey, doc, I have one more question. And I'm always like, okay. And he's like, it doesn't work. And that it doesn't work always mean the erection problem.
What percentage of Bostonians have problems with erections compared to the rest of the country? Because we like to be leaders in everything if possible.
Bostonians are the healthiest men out there. That's what they like to think.
Okay, we're just leading in the other direction. But, I was hoping you could say, Bostonians have more problems with erections than anywhere else. We would take that, too, as long as we're number one in some category.
But if we take hard data, which is the Massachusetts Male Aging Study, which is one of the most quoted studies out there, about 50% of men over the age of 40 will have some form of erectile dysfunction.
Okay. Dr. Lapushnin, she's a urologist here, we're doing this because it's Men's Health Month. And, you know, we did this last year on the golf show, so we're doing it again. Now, you mentioned that sometimes it's a result of having prostate surgery. Are there other times when having problems with erectile dysfunction is indicative of some other health issue?
Absolutely. And when I talk to my patients about erectile dysfunction, I always tell them you need to have three things to have good erection. Number one is a penis, obviously. Number two is good blood vessels. And number three is good nerves that go to the penis and those blood vessels. So if you have issues with your blood vessels or your nerves, you will have poor erectile function. So any disease that can cause damage to blood vessels or nerves, for example, vascular disease, heart disease, diabetes, back issues, spine issues, all those things can cause erectile dysfunction. We really want to be very vigilant about really young guys with erectile dysfunctions, because that's the population where we want to screen for vascular issues, because those are the men that are at higher risk for heart issues later on in life.
Okay. Is it common to have this treated with just medication sometimes?
It's very common, especially in the early stages of the AD. Medications that we prescribe can be very, very helpful. But once medications stop working, men think that, you know, there's nothing else. They have to live this way forever. And that is absolutely not true. You know, there are other treatments that we can offer once the pills fail.
I love my primary care physician. If I had a question about this, I would probably ask him first. Is it also important to see a urologist beyond your primary care doctor?
I think it is very important, because sometimes, you know, your primary care is an excellent resource to provide you know, first kind of line of treatment and first evaluation. But for any further evaluation, for any deeper sort of workup and treatment, you really need to see a urologist.
All right. Dr. Natalia Lapushnin. I have to separate your first name from your last name in order to get it right. Where do people go to find out more information about this? I believe edcure.org. Is that the place to go?
So that's the website, which is an excellent resource. You can go to edcure.org and you know, find a provider, find a urologist who is close to you. You just type in your zip code and it pulls up the list of all the urologists in your area. For me specifically, I see patients out of two locations. One is in Dedham, and another one is in Northeastern. But okay. You can find all that information on edcure.org.
And final question for you. If you're kind of on the fence as to whether or not you should be, you know, going online or even making that phone call, are there any indicators to say, like, yeah, this is something you should see a urologist about?
I feel like if you're thinking about it, you should just do it. Because by the time you start recognizing that it's a problem, it really is a problem. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, I see a patient when we devise a treatment plan, and then I see them a month or two later, and they come back, and they're so appreciative of how much their quality of life has improved in that time. So I say, if you're thinking about it, then it's a problem. Just call and make an appointment. You know, most of those appointments are covered by the insurance. You're not going to be paying out of pocket. Just go and evaluate your health. It will be better in the long run.
Because it's not just about the health of that one particular part
exactly.
of your anatomy. It affects your overall health, your mental health. And as we talked about before, it can also be an indicator of some other health issue that you're dealing with.
Heart condition, of early vascular disease, etc.
Okay. So it's all stuff that gets covered under the umbrella of Men's Health Month, which is why we're talking about it here with Dr. Natalia Lapushnin. See, I managed to say them both together quicker that
time. That was amazing.
All right. Well, I feel like I should end on a high note. So, Dr. Lapushnin, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
Getting you ready to hit the links. It's the Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back on the Sports Hub Golf Club with our tip of the week. It's Stephen Daly once again, who's the head professional at the Cape Club in Sharon. We're going to be talking about iron play today, which is a very big subject, but we're going to keep it to just a couple of points, Stephen, if you don't mind, in terms of improving our iron play, whether it's off the tee, which, believe it or not, gives me as much trouble as anything else. I find myself struggling to hit good tee shots with my irons, whether it's on a par three or on a you know, a positioning hole, a par four, where a long iron off the tee is going to suit you better than any other club in the bag. So let's touch on both if we can here. But just your initial thoughts in terms of improving iron play.
You know, when you think about iron play, the number one key is distance control. A lot of people talk about how, you know, my seven iron goes this distance or my five iron goes this distance. But all it really matters is hitting the ball the distance that you're prescribed to hit it, right? So if you have 150 yards, hitting a nine iron 160 yards really does you no good. It's about hitting the exact distance that you have in front of you.
So everybody, I assume everybody, because this is the way I've always felt, the shorter the club, the more comfortable I'm going to feel. So what do we need to do to convince ourselves to take that extra club? We're always told, take that extra club. Most people end up short of their target in terms of distance. What do we have to do to feel better about pulling the six iron when really we want to be hitting a seven or eight from a certain distance?
You know, part of that is going to be practice, obviously, you know, knowing the distance that you hit each club and assessing the conditions in which you're hitting those shots. But I would say more club for your average golfer is always going to be better, because you're going to have more off-center hits. So having a little bit buffer by hitting more club is only going to do you well.
Okay, so let's move from the fairway to the tee box for a moment, because I seem to struggle with tee shots with my irons. I'll come inside the target line a little bit. I'll hit these chunky toe shots. Is there something that I'm doing wrong? Because, you know, we're told and we're instructed to compress the ball against the turf, you know, with an iron shot from the fairway or the rough, maybe not so much from the rough, but, you know, with iron shots from the fairway. On the tee,
it's hard not to change your swing or angle of attack when you're, you know, giving yourself a nice little perch.
Yeah, so I would say the angle in which the club's coming down into contact from the tee is definitely going to be a little different than off the fairway. Like you said, you're probably not going to want to swing as down on the ball as you would when it's in the fairway. So sometimes when you are in the fairway, you'll tend to lean a little bit to your left side for a right-handed golfer, which will steepen the shaft and make your impact a little bit steeper. So when you're back on the tee and you want to shallow it out a little bit and not hit so down onto it, I would say think about keeping your head you know, on the ball or behind the ball, which will allow the club to come into contact at a little shallower angle.
So let me throw something at you here that I think serves that purpose that I've heard about when it comes to iron play, and that is practicing with the ball way forward in the stance, much more so than maybe you're comfortable playing or have been told to do so in the past, to kind of promote that keeping the head behind the ball and, of course, finishing over on your left side for a right-handed player. Is that a drill that you like, playing that ball way forward in the stance and then kind of grooving that feeling of staying behind the ball and finishing over on that left side?
Yeah, definitely. That's a really good drill just to practice, you know, not really sticking the club into the ground as much and being able to kind of almost sweep it off the turf and get a better strike.
I've played with some really good players who are not these big divot takers, guys who nip the ball off the turf. Is there anything wrong with trying to groove that feeling into your iron play?
No, not at all. You know, as long as it doesn't get to an extreme where you're swinging up on the ball and then, you know, sculling it and hitting it thin, which would obviously...
Thin to win? What are you talking about? I love a thin shot. They go forever.
Hey, I hit plenty of them myself. But, you know, like if I can touch back on that distance control, you know, it really does come from the consistency of the strike. So as we do want to maybe take a little less turf, we also want to make sure that the strike is good and we're getting the right distance on the shot.
It's all about distance control for Stephen Daly, the head professional at the Cape Club in Sharon when it comes to iron play. Stephen, thanks once again for the tips. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me.
Stay tuned for more of the Sports Hub Golf Club. This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Back on the Sports Hub Golf Club, a few things to get to here before we wrap things up for the day. Number one, I will be out at the PGA Tour Superstore, which is in Braintree. I don't know if they've been opening. I feel a little bit like Ocean's 13 when they're trying to explain to, is it Mort? What's the guy's name? The grand opening of the bank. Soft opening and the grand opening. When is it open? And he's all confused. One day the Desert Inn was closed, the next day it was open. When's the opening? And the opening's today. Let's just call it today. Today is the I don't care if the doors were open earlier this week. Today is the grand opening. The Braintree store, the PGA Tour Superstore, and the actual address, 450 Grossman Drive. Be there from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. today. Come join me in my spending mood. Let's go make some bad decisions in terms of buying things we don't need. Let's go fix our games mechanically, okay? Or in my case, just with new shoes. That's all I want today. I won't be happy unless I walk out of there with new shoes. So that's going on today. Also this weekend, it's the Memorial Tournament, Dublin, Ohio. Muirfield, that's Jack Nicklaus's tournament. We talked a little bit earlier how, you know, it was a big deal that Tiger was playing. He's 7 strokes off the lead. It's not probably going to factor in this weekend. Bryson DeChambeau, the mad scientist, was called for a bad time earlier in the tournament. This was on Thursday, round one. He's been called out on this before. Brooks Koepka, the back-to-back U.S. Open winner, the back-to-back PGA Championship winner, called out Bryson DeChambeau for his slow play earlier this year. This time, it was an actual tournament official. So he's playing with another somewhat slow player in Tiger Woods. He's not painfully slow, but Tiger isn't known for being the fastest guy on the course. And Justin Rose, right? And there are times in place There is a certain amount of time. Now, if you a lot of it has to do with the group playing in front of you. And if you fall out of position, just like you do if you're playing later on today over at President's, right? If you're playing at Pine Hills today and, you know, the tee sheet is stacked and you end up with a hole or a hole and a half between you and the group in front of you, then you have fallen out of position. So that's the first indicator that a group is playing slow. So what happens then is you're put on the clock. And what that means is the first player in a group to hit, whether it's on the tee or in the fairway, they have 50 seconds to hit their ball. The other two guys have only 40 seconds. They say, okay, you can be using the time the other guy is using to figure out what he's going to do to decide whether or not you're going to hit your shot, so you get less time. Bryson DeChambeau is all kinds of poly pissy pants over this. He says that he hurries in between his shots so that he has time while he's standing over the ball. Here's his quote. The time to hurry is in between shots. It's not over the shot. It's timing how people walk. You have to add that into the equation. You got somebody walking slow and they get up to the shot and they take their 20 seconds. What's the aggregate time for them to hit that shot between shots? That's what really matters. It's not the shot at hand. Incorrect. Incorrect, Bryson, because we've all seen you get up to the ball and you and your caddy take out the yardage book and then start taking into account the wind. And they've had these guys mic'd up before where they're talking about the grass and they're talking about which way the sun is setting and which way the blades of grass are following the sun and how that's going to affect the roll of the golf ball and the apron in front of the green. And, oh, just hit the ball. The kid's got all kinds of games. Bryson DeChambeau has won 5 times on tour. You know, it was last year. He was tearing it up. He's not playing so well lately. It's funny how when guys start to play like crap, they take all this time before they hit their shots. And that was one of his excuses. He says that he even said this to the rules official. He said, "Do you realize I was deciding between laying up and going for it? And we've had struggles the past 3 holes in a row. Hazards and making bogeys and all that. Was that not factored in?" No, it was not. It doesn't matter how well you're playing. You have a certain amount of time to hit the ball. And if you can't do it, you know what? Maybe you would be better served by hurrying up and not thinking about it so much. DeChambeau. I respect that he's trying to do things differently. And he may end up changing the game with his single length irons and his unhinged swing and all that stuff. But the one thing that I cannot deal with is slow play. It's what drives a lot of people from the game. It's what's caused me to change the way I play in terms of where I play and when I play, because I can't stand going out there and playing behind slow people or playing with slow people. I just want to play. I just want to keep moving. I'm not like obnoxiously fast. I just keep moving. And Bryson DeChambeau is not one of those guys. All right. Phil Mickelson already getting ready for the U.S. Open. And he's posted another video on Twitter. And, you know, Phil Mickelson coming to Twitter is one of the best worst things that's happened to the game. Let's hear. And I think everybody was introduced to Phil's videos when he was driving up Magnolia Lane, you know, hitting bombs, making putts, whatever. So this is his super hype. This is Phil Mickelson's version of a hype video for his U.S. Open preparation.
Good morning, everyone. It's Thursday of Memorial, and this is going to be the first time in a long time that I've used 2 drivers. As if one epic flash driver isn't enough, I'm going to use 2. Well, why such a change of heart? Why am I doing this? Well, I saw a post of Bubba Watson hitting bombs without a shirt on. And he had bare chest hair. And I don't mean B-A-R-E chest hair. I mean grizzly bear, B-E-A-R, chest hair. And thought, if I have to have that to hit bombs, I don't want to hit bombs. So I have a shorter driver where I can hit cute little cuts into the fairway. But then I realized
that... Can you stop it, please? What the hell does Bubba Watson's chest hair... Okay, I understand he wants to goof on Bubba Watson and his chest hair. That's fine. Why does this mean you need 2 epic flash drivers in your bag?
He has 2 options here if he wants to hit bombs. Either he has to have a better driver or he needs to grow like woolly mammoth chest hair.
No, he's got the epic flash. No one needs another driver other than the epic flash. That's it. You only need one.
He believes he needs two.
I'm trying to figure out why.
He's going to explain.
Bubba Watson's chest hair factors into him needing two drivers. All right, we'll continue.
When I was not hitting bombs, my confidence was low. My self-esteem was low. Oftentimes, I wouldn't want to get out of bed. And so when I started hitting bombs, my confidence shot back up. My testosterone came back. My overall attractiveness increased. And so I'm going to have a driver to hit cute cuts in the fairway and to hit bombs.
Have low T, hit bombs.
Maybe he's got some ED.
Get your testosterone comes flooding right back.
Men's Health Month.
We should hook him up with Dr. Natalia Lopushnin.
And
see if maybe she can help him
out. Doesn't that go the other way? Like, if you increase your testosterone, wouldn't you be more apt to hit bombs as opposed to the other way around?
I don't know what the hell he's talking about, this jive ass. I really don't. He is so full of it. He is so completely full of BS.
You realize you fell for it, right?
By watching the video?
By watching, playing, and discussing the video, because basically all it is an ad for his driver.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something.
They probably paid him like $50,000 for that. post this video. Make sure you talk about hitting bombs with your new driver.
I've got the Epic. I love it. I don't need one. It is working because I want the Epic Flash. Yeah, it's got the new face. You know, still got the look at me, Ryan. Still got the jailbreak technology, but now it's got the face too. Flash. Kaboom! Off the face of that baby. Long, straight. Men's Health Month.
You didn't even have to grow out your chest hair.
No, I don't know.
Shave your chest and use that, you're all good.
I still don't know what it has to do with anything. By the way, Phil, there was one post yesterday.
Why was Bubba Watson, by the way, hitting bombs with his chest hair hanging out?
Why was Tom Brady posting pictures of himself hitting a tee shot with his shirt off? Did you see that one?
I did.
And then he tagged a bunch of his PGA Tour buddies. It's like, am I doing this right? It's like, that is the equivalent of you up. What are you doing, Tom? I don't care what you do. I just don't know that everybody needs to be subjected to it. To Phil's point, there was one post yesterday, and there's all these great analytics you can look at from, golf tournaments. Now, the Masters app is probably the best of them. Holy crap. When the Masters comes around, make sure you have the Masters app next year. You can look, I mean, shot for shot. You know, you can get way deeper.
I download the Masters app for 4 days every year.
It's so good. But a lot of, you know, there's a lot of this stuff available right now. One of Phil's drives at Muirfield on the 14th hole, which is a par four, most guys were laying up. It's one of the holes probably that Bryson DeChambeau was talking about, whether to lay up, whether to go for it. Phil was one of two guys who went for it on this particular day, and is a 366-yard hole. He left himself 23 yards short of the pin. He had a 340-yard drive. Phil Mickelson did.
You know why?
Epic flash.
Epic flash. No chest hair. Epic flash.
That's 48 years old in a 340-yard drive.
Think they might need to reel those things in a little bit? For the golf courses
they
to come obsolete
tested.
Again?
They all get... Oh, please. Put that same club in my hand and I might get an extra few yards. I might go from, 261 to 265, but I'll take it. I'll take it every time. All right, Ryan Johnston. Once again, a third straight week of the hockey show coming up later this morning. That's going to be all about the Stanley Cup. It's got to be, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've got Billy Jaffe's going to be in studio for the full two this week because everybody else is on the road.
Excellent.
So he's going to spend 2 hours with us between 9 and 11, and we're going to go over every minute detail of the first two games of this series and look forward to game three tonight.
Very good. What are you going to do up until then? What are you doing until 9 o'clock?
Pretty much the same thing.
All right.
I'm going to give you my thoughts on what went wrong in game two, okay, how to fix it. And what's great about this series?
Oh.
I love how this series is going to play out.
Good.
Going to continue to play out.
Okay, good. I like it. I'm intrigued. I'll be listening. Sean Silver will give us the headlines here. 90 seconds. Ryan Johnston begins. And we'll be back. Oh, by the way, thank you to our guest this morning, Stephen Daly, head professional, Cape Club of Sharon, for the iron lesson here this morning, and Dr. Natalia Lapushnian, because it is Men's Health Month. Thank you to both of our guests. We'll see you next weekend here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.